Spartans to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission of the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the NMPDHQ mission from Halo 3 ODST on the next episode. This episode, we're debriefing the Oni Alpha Site mission from Halo 3 ODST. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
Fall back, Marines.
Lots of falling back this episode. So the last mission, Kazingo Boulevard, Mickey stumbled into a fierce battle between the Covenant and UNSC and was ordered to take command of a Scorpion tank to help repel the invasion. We then proceeded to blow up half the city and saved as many Marines as possible along the way. Mickey eventually teams up with Dutch to help defend the Marine rally point just outside Oni Alpha Site. This mission, Dutch and Mickey volunteered to blow something up, and it turns out that something is the bridge leading to Oni Alpha Site. The duo do their best to defend the super secret building that contains many super secret secrets, but are forced to blow it all up after the Covenant overwhelm the site. If we can't have it, you can't either. Boom, boom. Date of the game is October 20th, 2552. We're at 1810 hours. We're about 2 hours after the drop. But first, we got to jump back in the shoes of Rookie. And Rookie, we just found the Gauss turret, as you remember, and he kind of pats it on the side. And then he sees the Phantom's flower head. So you know you're going to start to shoot some more aliens. I tried sprinting to the next area because I feel like this beacon was a little bit closer than others. So I initially tried to just like sprint for it, but it didn't work out. And I remembered I was playing on heroic and I was like, oh, that's why it's not working out. have we talked about the jetpack brutes? They've been around. I think, haven't they? They've been around in the game so far.
I think we saw him another time with either the Rookie or one of the other guys.
Yeah.
We've definitely seen them before. They're really annoying.
They are annoying, yeah. And the technology is carried over from Halo 2, because you see that jetpack technology from the elites using it, and it would make sense that the brutes have them too. But then we got lots of jackals here to deal with, and then there's some stealth brutes as well to deal with.
Those are annoying too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like I said, I beelined it for the door and I realized, oh, this is not working out, because I actually had to clear out the brutes before the door, or you could try to open the door quickly, but you're just going to get kind of crushed. And then by that time, the jetpack brutes are going to make it catch up to you. So it makes more sense just to kind of take your time, clear everybody out. You'll get there eventually. Any highlights on this kind of opening area for you, David?
I don't think I did anything a whole lot here. I think I may have just done what you did, but by playing a normal, I just kind of made a beeline for it.
Yeah.
For the beacon.
Yeah. Krista, anything for you? Do you, you probably just clear out everything. Are you ever doing, because you talked about being a sniper, are you ever doing close combat? Are you picking up Covenant weapons during this mission?
I've been picking up beam rifles from the Jackal snipers because they're annoying. And I've just kind of been sniping the guys as I go.
Yeah.
Or just running past them. I feel like I did the same thing you guys did and just made a beeline for this one because it's very close, and two, mm-hmm. it's a really good mission. I wanted to just get into the mission at that point. Like, there comes a point where kind of the novelty of being Rookie and then going to the place starts to wear off a little, mm-hmm. and you're just like, I just want to get to the mission and, play the mission. So I think I'm at that point right now. At this mission in particular, it's just like, it's so close. I don't really want to walk around right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've experienced enough missions by this point that the missions is where the majority of the good stuff is. So it makes sense that we're like, okay, just get me to that beacon. Give me the next beacon. Let's
hungry for that bacon.
Right. So you do clear out that area. You open some big barrier doors. And then the next area... has some stealth brutes, some more stealth brutes, some jackal snipers. There's an engineer. And then have we seen the chieftain brutes before? I'm trying to remember if we've seen them yet.
As the Rookie? I don't think so.
So yeah. This might be the first Chieftain Brute that we encounter here. So he's being helped out by the engineer. And they're no joke. I'm forgetting now, so it's been a couple days since I played the mission, if he has his hammer here or not. Or
I think he has the turret.
Oh, right. Yep.
They either have, the hammer or the turret.
Mm-hmm. So they're fun to deal with. Do you guys know anything? Have you guys done lore on the regular podcast about the Chieftain Brutes at all? Do you know anything off the top of your head?
Nothing special about
their
them.
Their armor or anything like that?
Oh, they're with the armor's more just, hey, I'm a chieftain, look how cool I am.
Mm-hmm.
They're just the leader of the pack of brutes in the area. So, I mean, there's a whole, succession thing where they're always, other brutes are always looking to assassinate their own chieftain so that they can become chieftain. That's kind of where they are. And the Covenant's just like, okay, that's your thing. You can do your thing. But we need at least a chieftain to tell what to do. So and they kind of make all the decisions, tactical decisions.
Gotcha. And it makes sense that they look the coolest, I guess, or have the most armor.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember, so we played Halo 2 Anniversary, and there's the dudes with the flags. They're not chieftains, right? There's somebody else?
They're captains.
Captains, okay.
Yeah, I think so.
That's
yeah.
right. So, I mean, just goes to show you that, you know, all this, kind of the military on both the UNSC side and the Covenant side has been thought through by Bungie, and so they kind of have that whole hierarchy figured out. So if you're interested in that sort of stuff, definitely go look that up on Halopedia. You can find out more or listen to Podcast Evolve because they have their great lore segments for that. So right around where that chieftain is and the engineer was originally, I think I ended up popping him after a little while. There is a area that you're going to go down, and that looks like to me, I mean, if I read it right, the New Mombasa Police Department, that's the entrance to the headquarters there, we'll talk about in the next episode. But it looks like there's a little symbol, because you kind of go down, and there's an audio log down there. It looked to me like that was the entrance to that building. You know, I could be wrong, but that's what I thought I was seeing there. But you could, so in as we've been talking about those signs and kind of the superintendent, as we've talked about, has been kind of directing you along the way, and it directs you down into that little area there, and the doors don't open. You can't open those doors. You have to head back out and then back around to through another barrier door before you can proceed from there.
I mean, it would make sense that the police headquarters is by the most secretive and important building in the city.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So the next area, kind of through the barrier doors, that's where you start to see, I think I see grunts and brutes in that, kind of like that little hallway area. It's almost like a little tunnel that takes you through. I think I grabbed not a beam rifle, but a carbine in there. Yeah, I grabbed a carbine. And every time I see a carbine, it's like gold. I just gravitate towards that and just grab that as quickly as possible. I think I did mess around with the needles a little bit, the needler here too, because I think so many grunts had the needler. And it's interesting that the needler, and I know art design changes between games, but the Halo Anniversary, Halo 2 Anniversary needler had those giant needles. It looked really cool. And then coming back and playing this game, it feels like the needler is so small. Did you guys notice that at all? Did that stick out to you?
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think the needler is one of those weapons that changes so drastically between the games.
Mm-hmm.
The design, and in Halo 2, you could dual wield them.
That's true.
Just how they use the needlers, how fast. I feel like the needles, in Halo 1, the needles are so super slow. Mm-hmm. They're slowly coming towards you, but. Right. When you get to some of the older games, they're moving super fast at you.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those guns that they just keep tweaking and changing a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there's any, we haven't really done the needlers, so I'm not sure if there's any lore that kind of explains why they're so different. So we'll have to look into that.
I think there is a little bit. I don't know about the gun designs, but I think the needler itself, I don't think was originally a weapon. I want to say that it was a tool. But I could be mixing that up with something else, because it's clearly a weapon.
Yeah.
But I think all the crystals, all those needles actually come from one place and one moon, as far as I remember, and you need to be mined there.
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah, it's something like that.
So I think it could be with the maybe the quality of the material being mined maybe determines the type of ammunition. I could be just talking shit now at this mm-hmm. stage, but something in my brain is sparking off that it's not, it wasn't originally a weapon. I think I think something in Halsey's journal, when she's analyzing the Covenant technology, she says some of them look more like they should be tools as opposed to designed specifically for a weapon purpose, and maybe there's something there about that. I don't know. People can't ignore me now.
When I first played Halo, or started getting into Halo, the Needler always stuck out to me as, like, what is this thing? It's so weird. But the more I've gotten into it, and, you know, by now, just, like, the Needler needs to be in Halo. It's part of Halo. It's one of the more iconic weapons.
Oh, totally, for me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, for me, it's AR, the assault rifle, the Needler are, like, the two most iconic kind of from each faction for me. And then when I think about vehicles, it's the Ghost, and then it's the Warthog. Like, those four things to me, you know, throw in the Spartans, obviously, too, but those four things, that's Halo for me.
And honestly, the Needler's the gun that looks the most alien.
Mm-hmm.
From my perspective, like, it looks so crazy when you first pick it up in Halo Combat Evolved. It's just like this crazy thing.
Well, it's the most unique too. Yeah, there's not many other games that have something similar, where the more rounds you put into somebody in that same spot and then it explodes. Like, I can't think of anything else that does that. Well, yeah, but I'm saying in other types of games.
I wish they'd bring back the needle rifle. I know in Halo 5, they have, like, one of those special, like, skews of weapons. Yeah, it's a carbine that shoots needles, which is super cool. I wish they would implement them more.
And they have a needle warthog. It's amazing. It's so goddamn cool. Oh.
All right, we are so off topic right now.
I wanted to have a needle conversation. I had it in my notes, so we're all good. Okay. So who wants to describe, now once you get out of this tunnel here, who wants to describe, like, this skybox is amazing.
Oh, it's so good. It's such a great moment where you just come out of the tunnel and you see this big burning wreck, and, like, the sky's all
burning
dull
red
and
square.
It's so cool, yeah. And there's, like,
there's phantoms around
there's
the
phantoms
buildings
everywhere,
like,
yeah,
scanning.
Yeah. It's so cool.
It's definitely one of those like, wow moments in ODST.
Mm-hmm.
Just the destruction that happened, and then you're like, I wonder how this happened. Guess I'm gonna find out.
Right. And you kind of feel like you've reached the edge of the city too, because you've been so entrenched underneath all these tall buildings, and then you finally kind of get to look out and see this, you know, the husk of the space elevator on the side, and then this burning, that's the Oni Alpha site, so that's where we're going. Pretty cool. So we find the ping, that leads us to the remote detonator, where you pick it up as Rookie, and then you start to hear, and I guess I'm not exactly sure why they did the voiceover. It was Dare and Buck kind of bantering before initial drop. Maybe they're recalling that because Dare is Oni. That can
make
sense.
I guess.
But yeah, then we get the initial cutscene for the regular mission, the Oni Alpha Site mission, and we are now playing as Dutch 2 hours after drop. Krista, do you want to do the initial little cutscene and this action here? We have we have Mickey. Remember Mickey setting the detonators, and you're playing as Dutch, so Mickey's kind of, like, directing you around, which is kind of weird, right? Because he's the explosive expert, but he's making Dutch be the person that actually plants the detonators. But, I mean, whatever. We just played as Mickey, so maybe that they just wanted you to start playing as Dutch. But then you have all these wraiths behind you, right? And you're trying to blow up that bridge so that the Covenant don't get to the Oni Alpha site. Like, that's the mission here, is to prevent them from getting to that building. So you go across and you arm three different charges across the bridge. You can really just sprint to each one. I was playing a heroic and I didn't have any problem. Legendary, it might be a little bit more difficult, but usually you can just kind of sprint through there, set the charges. And then when you get to the other side, there's, like, this tower, and it seems like the Marines are, like, kind of fussing with the superintendent, because the superintendent doesn't let him blow it right away. Did you guys pick up on that?
Yeah.
That's right, he stops you.
Yeah, he stops you from doing it, and they're just like, come on, stupid AI.
Right. And then as Dutch, you're the one that goes up to the little console there and then hits the button. And that's a pretty satisfying moment, that, you know, the explosion of the bridge, and especially that by that point there's usually a bunch of vehicles.
Yeah, it's so good. If you can catch, if you kind of are slow, like I did, like a real slow move across the bridge, so you bring the enemies across with you, and then you run and you trigger it, you can blow, you can kill so many enemies at once. It's so satisfying.
Do you know if you get points for them if you're doing a score?
I think you do.
I think so. I think you can get it.
Also, there's usually a wraith left over on the other side of the bridge, and there's if you're facing the other side of the bridge, there's a gauze cannon to your left. Mm-hmm. If you get on that and blow up that last wraith, you get an achievement.
Oh, what is it?
It's just kill all the wraiths in the area or something like that.
Yeah, if you kill all the wraiths in this mission. Yeah, there's not just two on the end of the bridge, and I think later on more two get dropped in when you're defending a certain area. And then I think there's four. There might be five. I'm not 100% sure. There might be five in total.
But just destroy those wraiths, because it's satisfying and fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, the gauze cannon is always fun to use. Use it whenever you can.
Exactly. Yeah, I stumbled across that. I'd forgotten about that. I was like, oh, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, so if you really want to, you can wait to blow up the bridge and just shoot the guys, and I think some banshees come or something like that.
Yeah, you can kill some banshees. Hang out. There's actually one piece of trivia here. If the player doesn't arm any of the explosive instead and just kills the Covenant on the bridge, Mickey will arm the charges, and the NMPD officer will blow it instead. So even if the player is still on the bridge and is cleared of all Covenant, it'll still... The cop will blow it, yeah.
Interesting. That's kind of cool, though. I mean, I guess they're just... I mean, they need that event to happen to them.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Continue to fall back, so that makes sense.
I wish they would have said something like, "You suck, Dutch, what the hell?"
So this mission is kind of bookended by explosions. So we have this initial explosion here, and then we'll talk about it when we get to the end. I mean, you see the burning husk, you kind of know what happens, but then there's that explosion at the end, which is kind of fun to think about.
The piece of trivia is actually here now. I should have read it. If playing on co-op with campaign scoring active, the host will receive points for any Covenant who are killed on the bridge's detonation, often resulting in large multi-kill medals, such as Killpocalypse or Killionaire.
Oh, it does. Yay. Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Nice. So now we need to fall back. We fall back to this inner courtyard it talks about. And this is a pretty iconic area of this game in particular, and just Halo, this giant courtyard where you're kind of racing back. And then, there's Covenant in there. Do you, David, are you kind of clearing people out along the way? Or are you kind of sprinting towards the back?
No, I'm always trying to kill as many as I can, like as they get dropped in. Mm-hmm. And then I slowly move my way back, because there's loads of weapons here. There's loads of ammo. There's loads of, like, as you move yourself up, there's, like, the sniper rifles. There's turrets that you can break and bring down with you. Like, there's so many good opportunities here to have, like, a little mini firefight yourself.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And when they tell you to fall back at the end of this instance, you don't have to fall back. If you want to sit around and just kill guys, you can stand around and just kill guys as much as you want. It's pretty fun.
Yep, as long as you have ammo. Yeah, it's pretty good. Quickly, before I keep going, just an interesting note, I guess, something I thought about while I was going through this is that, you know, it tells you the pull or, I don't know, the importance that Oni has is that, you know, they're in the middle of this giant city, and, like, they stuck this building, like, right in the waterfront here. It's, like, this giant thing. It's quite the location for a super secret organization.
It looks like a piece of modern art. Do you know what I mean? It's this big cube that's kind of off-centered and rising out of this.
It's just a monument to BB.
That's kind of pretty much it, yeah.
That's deep. That's deep cut. If you know what that is talking about.
I'm not going to explain it, so if you know. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know.
All right. So what I did is I gave Mickey the Spartan laser. I think you start with a Spartan laser. Maybe I picked it up
at
some
point. You start with one.
I gave it to Mickey and just let him have at it. There, he's okay with it. He killed me a couple times during the mission with it too.
Oh really?
That's the worst part about. That's why I never give the AIs like Spartan lasers or rocket launchers, because they always find a way to kill me. Just always murder me. It's like, You're welcome for the rocket launcher, man.
Especially if you're having a good little session before the checkpoint, and then you get taken out. You're like, ugh. I did grab a sniper at one point, and I'd forgotten there were hunters in the buck mission.
There is.
I'd forgotten that their armor kind of breaks apart.
Yeah.
As you're firing that off, and that must be a Halo 3 thing. I'm forgetting if that was part of Halo 2.
I don't think it was. No, that's Halo 2.
It's a Halo 3 thing.
So that's a new mechanic, which is cool, which was fun to kind of see that. I mean, it's easier to see it because those hunters, when you're fighting them in the middle of that little courtyard with Buck, it's usually an up-close battle, at least it was for me, or you're just sprinting around them and you don't have to fight them. Whereas these ones, I feel like I was at a distance. I had a sniper rifle. Like, let's take these guys out. Plus, it's because they're, like, distracted by some of the other Marines, too. So you can just get some good shots in their back.
I just shot them both with my Spartan laser.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Does it take them out with one shot?
On normal, it does. I don't know about the higher difficulties.
Yeah. Probably would, I would imagine. Maybe not legendary, but... so then, yeah, we fall back all the way back to the front. At least you have to eventually, kind of the top of that hill. And there's lots of turrets all around for you to grab. My CUNY question is about the turret. So we'll get to that eventually. But how often are you guys using these turrets? Are you using them that much, or do you just ignore them and go for the other weapons? Krista, what do you do?
I use them until I get hit a couple times and then get angry that I'm just a standing target and then I leave.
Yeah.
That's pretty much for every turret. I'll go on them for a little bit, take out a couple enemies, and then when I feel like I'm taking too much damage, I'll abandon them.
Well, these enemies, I mean, the Covenant here, they advance. So they'll easily get behind you. They won't just kind of stay back and try to hide. David, are you using turrets at all here?
Yeah, I'm always trying to use turrets, especially on normal, because you can use them a good bit. But like you said, like at this moment, like if you don't have those raids taken out, they'll find the bead on you pretty quick. And because the enemy's constantly advancing, you have to be careful about when you choose to take the turrets. But I'll always break them off anyway and at least retreat back with them.
Yeah.
It's like free ammo. That's what I think about them. Like.
Yep. I think what I did is I ended up either finding another Spartan laser up there, but I took out those wraiths with the Spartan lasers just from a distance.
Yeah.
Just so they weren't kind of lobbing the plasma cannons at me. And then that's when I just went to start clearing out the rest of the... I mean, there's a lot of Covenant here. There's a lot of Covenant to deal with.
Did you guys notice that the Covenant can actually destroy the barriers you hide behind, too?
Yeah, like they can.
They're destructible.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Uh-uh.
Yeah, the really big ones.
Interesting.
They fall apart. The wraiths shoot them pretty much soon on. They kind of break up your cover and stuff. Try and lob in shots in amongst you.
Yeah,
and then the chieftain comes, and then it's time to go.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I think I got stuff to do. I left the oven on, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I got to go iron my shirt. All right, we're leaving. So I do the kind of the turret. I break off the turret too, and kind of run around with it as much as possible. It's just satisfying. This is such a satisfying weapon, and it sounds super similar to the turret on the back of the Warthog too. It just feels good. And I also like the animation, like when you're kind of lugging it around, it zooms back. It's just
love that third person. I love the way that Halo did that.
Mm-hmm.
Always love that.
One of the dialogue pieces that I heard, one of the brutes says to his little buddy of grunts, he says, "Take this hill or die upon it."
Oh, really? It's very dramatic.
Like a Civil War type thing or something like that. So we eventually fall back and retreat into the building. I grabbed a shotgun from one of the Marines because I knew that this was going to be close quarters. I don't think I really used the shotgun that much after I got into that, but I did just swipe it from him. And there was a SMG that I grabbed just kind of thinking that the close quarters weapons might work a little bit better. Mickey still had that Spartan laser, so he was in the middle, but he hops on the turret right away.
Really?
At least he did for me.
And I grabbed it myself.
I had to bump him off the turret in order to start using that. So this is like another iconic little section of Halo ODST is kind of this defense part here. I'm just going to read the dialogue that the Marines say because I didn't pick up on it right away. So there's a police department sergeant. He says, "Hurry up, men. Check those charges." Mickey chimes in and says, "Wait, what? More explosives?" Then Dutch says, "Yeah, what gives? I thought we were supposed to protect the building." And then the sergeant says, "I have orders to deny enemy access to all classified data housed in this facility. You don't like it? Jump your butts back into orbit." And then Mickey says, "The only thing I don't like is that our butts are currently inside this facility."
So good.
Yeah, so yeah. there are orders from high above to say this building... it needs to go. If they get into this building, you need at all costs, you just need to destroy it because there's enough information in here that the Covenant could use against us that we're just going to wipe it out.
Well, I would think they probably have an AI in the building that took all the data.
Sure.
So they just
need to give it to the computers. I'm sure they have everything backed up. but mm-hmm. it's the standard Halo trope of Covenant comes to a human place, humans blow up the place. And that just yep. seems to be the standard tactic.
Yeah. Yeah. David, do you want to take us through kind of this
Yeah, this is super fun. Mm-hmm. So I'll start off with saying this is the first and only level in the game where the player encounters suicidal grunts using any of the skulls. Yeah. It's also the last level that the player gets aided by normal Marines. So after that, other troops. It's kind of a strange note that Mickey, a private first class, is giving orders to Dutch, who is a corporal. But it's made this be a sign of the close and informal bond of the members, or to help the new players actually know what to do.
Sure.
Just Raheem giving you... Because it's possible he ordered Dutch simply because of his expertise with explosives, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. And what else are we going to say here? Yeah, inside the base there is a memorial wall with hundreds of names of people who have died in the war. Dr. Halsey... Oh. Admiral Preston Cole are listed along with numerous names, like humorous names, like London Bridges is written on the wall.
Wait, Dustin Echoes?
Yeah, yeah. Halsey is listed, yeah.
As being dead.
They marked Halsey as dead after the Battle of Reach.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, duh. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, thought that was fun. This kind of segment is really cool. So, you've got like two doors and a bunch of like things in the way of your door, like barriers and stuff like that. And you have like a bunch of Marines and cops in the middle, and some kind of weapons and grenades. I think there's a shotgun here, on the ground, and there's a turret.
It's not a good area to defend, like the center of the building. It's like the worst spot. Sucks.
Terrible place to defend. But you're defending it obviously because it's the elevator shaft, which is probably your way out, mm-hmm. and way up and down and around the building. So the Covenant break through the doors, and I'd imagine the Covenant put up these energy barriers? Do we think they're Covenant barriers and not human?
Mm.
Do you know when those doors break? Anyway, barriers probably. Appear. They stop you going through them, but the Covenant can come through the other side. And essentially, you just have to shoot left and right, and the Marines will shout at you and tell you which side enemies are coming from. Mm-hmm. But it comes near the end, but they're pretty much coming out both sides. So you get like suicide grunts, you get jackals with shields, brutes come in. A chieftain does appear, I think, at some stage, does he? I want to say there's a chieftain. So.
Yep, there's one in there. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a good mix of enemies in here. So, you pretty much. I stayed on the turret and was able to defend on normal, but I think this becomes hard because they do throw solar flares and stuff at you.
Yeah.
So, they will try and aggressively, obviously, attack where you are.
But the brutes kind of stay back, whereas the grunts will just charge.
Yeah, yeah. The brutes actually do stay back. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And what else happens? That's pretty much it. Like, I mean, once you're done there, they Marine sergeant or cop sergeant will tell you there's enemies dropping in behind you, so you turn around and like there's like an area where ships can kind of drop in, like launch pads, so like Covenant phantoms kind of come in and start dropping loads of brutes in on top of you now and some jackals and stuff. So in this other area you kind of get more grenades are kind of really handy here, and I don't know, I had good fun here with I still had my Spartan laser at the time, so I was just lasering the chieftains and grenading a lot of grenades in
What's
this
your-
kind of segment.
What's your approach here, Krista? Are you chasing after people, or are you just headshotting everybody?
I had a shotgun and an SMG at the time, so I was just, running and gunning.
But it's just kind of normal, which it's kind of freeing, right?
You can kind of just run around. Yeah. You don't have to be as stealthy or as cautious. You can just kind of run around and shoot guys in the face.
Mm-hmm. David, you doing the same thing?
Pretty much. I was using... Well, the Spartan laser ran out around here, so I dropped it and started using SMG. And I think, did I have the shotgun? I think I had the shotgun as well, yeah. But I think I was picking the Covenant weapons a lot, because I think there's brute shots here and stuff like that, so I think I had a brute shot at the end.
I think there's a carbine, too, somewhere. One of the brutes must have a carbine.
You have to. Legendary is you start to run out of your ammo pretty quick towards the end of this mission, so... It's fun, though. I mean, it's definitely a memorable area. I did pick up on one of... a lot of dialogue I picked up on this mission, but Mickey at one point... This is rough, but Mickey says, "I'm going to rip your heart out and show it to your dying eyes."
Ooh, I love it. It's so funny.
Like, dark. What is going on?
They say some great stuff in ODST. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, oof, that is harsh. But, I mean, they're, you know... They're Marines in the middle of war, so I'm sure
they got some adrenaline going, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So eventually, after you, well, the other interesting thing is that those brutes really don't charge. At least maybe towards the end of when there's only a couple left, but they just kind of stay back. And I think there's jackals too that just really hang back. So it's really up to you to either be smart and precise with your weapons, or to kind of, you know, use the terrain or the building to your advantage and kind of sneak around, take out a couple guys, fall back, maybe grab a health pack, and then, you know, clear out the rest of them. Chuck grenades too here. You know, I was chucking as many grenades if I had any to clear them out, or at least damage their shields and things like that. And then once we clear that out, then it's time to go up the mine shaft. We regroup with Mickey. The elevator shows up, and then Mickey says he's gonna blow the mine shaft. So you're in the elevator. You're going up, and we get some of our drone buddies, our buggers, to clear out. Always fun to clear out. Try to, you know, depending on what weapon you have too, aren't necessarily geared up to hit them. At least be precise on them, and there's I don't know, 10 or 15 of them that you just have to clear out. The marine buddies that are in there, I think I had a one or two. At least Mickey's always in there, but I might have had a couple of other marines that were helping as well, so it's not terrible. But you know, again, on Legendary, I do remember dying once or twice on this area, especially if you're low on health at this point. When you do get up to the top, then your job is essentially just to kind of get to get evacuated. But you do have to hold out for a little bit, and there are some brutes, and isn't there a brute that like charges in right away? I think.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
So you had to take care of him, and I believe there's some jackals in the area. I think there's definitely another chieftain up here, and I just kind of hide. Brutes. Yep, and the jetpack. Yeah, maybe that's what one of the jetpack brutes kind of come in, because they usually charge you no matter what. So one of them might have come in, but they're kind of bouncing around the outside. And I just kind of hang in that area. Do you guys go outside and try to be a little bit more, I don't know, hands-on? I just kind of wait for the openings and try to peck at them.
Well, me playing on baby mode, I just go out there with the shotgun.
Okay, yeah, just run around. Yeah. I guess higher levels, you gotta be a little bit more careful. But
I'm playing on heroic. I have to be very cautious.
Well, I feel like my stick skills aren't as good as your guys either, so I typically have to be a little more careful. But anyway, I was hanging back. But then eventually, you do get a police pelican that shows up once you've almost got everybody cleared out. You kind of see him pulling up in the back there, and. Yeah, at this point, you just kind of hop on the back and you end the mission. So I don't think you have to clear out everybody. You can just hop on the back of the Pelican to end the mission. I did notice it's kind of the skybox here, too, and it was kind of red and smoking, which was kind of cool, just from, you know, everything that's been going on in the area.
But the war.
Yeah, just the war, right? The war on Earth, which is crazy to think about. And then the cutscene. David, are you recalling the cutscene at all?
This is pretty short of it. I remember the pelican kind of drops in and pretty much picks you up. And then is there a radio conversation then at this stage?
Yep. Yeah, with Buck.
Buck, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, one Buck of the police department guys say, "Do you know a guy named Buck?"
The two guys just look at each other, and then it neatly kind of folds into or picks up at the beginning of the next mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Which is nice. But then, you know, as you're going off into the distance, then Mickey does his...
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's a cool little kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He kind of counts down with his fingers silently and then blows the Oni Alpha Sight. And it blows up.
Yeah, he does, like, the fist pump.
It's so cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he must have the detonator, I guess, right? And he just decides... I mean, that was their mission, is to blow it up. So he just...
I don't know if they were timed or not.
It's probably timed. He probably just has a mission counter on his HUD or something like that.
I remember he takes it from someone. There's a statement saying, "Hey, if anyone's going to blow this building up, it's going to be me." He takes it. He comments that, I think, when you're on the elevator going up. Doesn't he say that?
Oh, okay.
Has the detonator.
Yeah, he takes the detonator from someone. I don't think you see anything happening. He just says it.
Usually these kind of missions, they have a timed or a timer, though, true. Just because in case someone else gets the detonator or everyone dies and can't press
You'd
the button.
You'd expect there to be some kind of backup.
Yeah, usually they have the countdown and not the push button.
Right. So then we just kind of go, you know, as we do, we always kind of go back to Rookie, and he just looks confused. And he's like, all right. It's so weird. Like, all this action is happening. And what was the Rookie? It was 6 hours after drop.
Yeah.
Like, he's just unconscious while all this stuff was happening. Kind of feel bad for the guy. But, yeah. So when you get back to him, he chucks the detonator into the water. And continues his search, but then it also says unlocked supply cache. So we talked about those supply caches unlocking over time as you're finding the audio logs, but there are certain points too where, especially like at the end of this mission, is that you will have one available for the next searching for the next beacon.
If I remember correctly, it's nowhere near the next beacon either. It's nowhere near, like, the path. So you would have to go off the beaten path, get to the supply cache, and go back.
Well, the one I found was pretty close, but I don't know if I had opened that one already from the other, because I've been, collecting audio logs here and there along the way. But
I think one every, like, 10 or something like that?
I think five, yeah. I think five is the magic number.
Yeah. You kind of have to be lucky, too, like, where you are on the map when they unlock. Like, sometimes they're across the entire map, or sometimes they're right next to you when they unlock.
Yeah, I gotcha. Anything else to cover for you guys?
It's a great mission.
I like the Oni. I just like the aesthetic of the burning building. I just love that. I just love him walking up to it and then just looking at it and then walking away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's a good... It's a great mission. I mean, it's one of the more iconic missions. I think all of these missions, because there's not many in ODST, they're all rememberable. But this one definitely sticks out in my head too. Not my favorite. We already talked about my favorite, but this is a really good mission.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of the heavy weapons you get to use and the kind of the map is changing. Do you know what I mean? It's got a cool dynamic of blowing a bridge and retreating back as you're fighting. It's a cool idea. I like that. Like holding areas and then retreating back and holding the area and then retreating back. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're being overwhelmed, which is what they are at this moment in time. So, yeah. It kind of makes you feel like you're losing, which they are. All right, well, that's about all we have to say. So why don't we just cover off on some quick community questions, and then we will get out of here. David, what do you have? Are you Facebook? You have some Facebook stuff?
Yo, I'm Facebook today. So on Facebook, Colin Perkins, you may know him, posted into the group. The Oni Alpha site mission on Halo 3 ODST has a lot of turret opportunities. How do you typically turret? The responses are as follows. David Elwood, keep it on a tripod for the first group of enemies. Yank it off when phantoms drop troop behind. It's pretty good accurate. Mm-hmm. Ian Francis says this is the correct answer, so... Ian likes to chime in. And Crystal Sedera says, Ian, who wants it easy, just flank those guys from the side with grenades plus shotgun. I usually complete speedrun on this recently. Oh, fair play. I was going to post the same thing, says Wayne Muller. I don't like running out of ammo before the Covenant finish attacking through the doors.
Yeah.
Mickey also likes giving Mickey the rockets, too. David, very good. I like this. Crystal says, run and gun makes the easiest quick op out Shadow. It's wasted Sarge. We're screwed or maximum effort. You honestly can't let those grenade happy grunts get the drop on you so early. And then Lance Area says, keep it on the tripod, then rip it off when I have to go inside and repeat with the turret inside. Yeah, that's pretty much what I do.
Oh, so you took it into the building with you?
I think I might have run out of ammo before that. Because the Chieftain ran at me and then he popped his invincibility, so I was just like shooting until that dropped.
Gotcha. Cool, is that it?
Yeah, that's it for Facebook.
All right, Facebook, Discord. Krista, what do you got?
All right, I got Matt Brozio. says, I usually die several times and then get frustrated and switch back to my regular gun. Elson94 says, I keep it until I see the mortar or grenades incoming. I disengage from the turret and jump away. If the turret remains upright, I keep using it. If not, I pick it up and use it until I'm out of ammo.
Yeah, I remember that. We didn't talk about that, how the turret will get knocked on the side or knocked off. From the grenades or whatever. But yeah, that's a real thing that happens.
Yeah, and then it's really annoying.
Right.
Physical Sky says, I always use the turrets until I'm almost dead, then I grab a health pack and go right back to it.
Yeah.
Some guy named Aaron. No idea who that is.
Stupid name.
I heard he was a murderer.
Yeah, oh Jesus. God. I heard he killed George.
Yeah, I mean, what's up with this guy? I try to use the turrets when I can. I don't like burning through my gun ammo until I have no choice. May as well use the infinite turret rounds first. I completely agree with that, strange man. Aaron's one of the other hosts on our main show. We're not being mean to a fan. Don't be scared of us. We're only mean to our own.
That's right.
Bigfoot 53 says, in my moment of panic to escape the incoming grenade, I often mistakenly detach the turret. I do that too. It's one of the most frustrating things. Bigby says, you can detach a turret and bring it into the circular room towards the end of the mission where you have to defend the wave of brutes. And then you have two turrets in the circular room.
That's brilliant.
He says that's how he beats it on solo legendary, but he still tries to scavenge weapons and get as much ammo as he can. And that's all we have for our Discord stuff. If you like to bully people and or just like to post memes, join the Discord. It's quite fun.
I don't think that's a really accurate advertisement for Discord.
That is a completely accurate advertisement. Have you seen our Discord?
certain channels.
Well, the good channels.
We call them the bad channels.
How dare you?
I do like the idea. I guess I didn't think about it. That is bringing the turret into the room and then just dropping it, and then like using the other weapons to clear out at least the grunts right away, and then going back and picking up one of the turrets because then you have two to rely on. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I did not think of that. Alrighty, well, let's get out of here. That'll do it for our debriefing of Oni Alpha Site Mission from Halo 3 ODST. On the next episode, we'll be covering NMPD HQ. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. Until next time, evolved.
Evolved.